When you need to focus on building, do you want to get bogged down by your database? MongoDB is an intuitive, flexible document database that lets you get to building. MongoDB's document model is a natural way to represent data so you can focus on what matters. MongoDB Atlas is the best way to use MongoDB. It's a global cloud database service that gives you all of the developer productivity of MongoDB, plus the added simplicity of a fully managed database service. You can get started free with MongoDB Atlas at mongodb.com/atlas.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Tanya Vlahovic, Head of Developer Ecosystem and Lead API Architect at eBay. How are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm great. Doing very well. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to chat with you. You have been designing APIs for a very long time, and I think today is, in fact, a special day for you at eBay, is it not?
Exactly. So we are recording this on November 20th, and that is exactly the 20th birthday of our developers program. So we launched our developers program 20 years ago, and we literally pioneered the API work. We released the first set of the APIs to support sellers manage their eBay business at scale. And later on, we added some buy API capabilities. Many of these APIs are still there, but they show their age. So 5 years ago, we hopped on a journey to revamp our program. As you said, I have been working as a lead architect for quite some time. I'm involved in anything related to the APIs and large partner integrations. I got hooked on the APIs, and I'm still doing the APIs, and I'm running eBay's developers program.
So there are those who are thinking about APIs today in 2020 and in the latter part of the 2010s who are thinking about APIs only as a thing that a mobile app would talk about, and they think only about REST. But what did APIs look like 20 years ago when one says, you know, we need a developer program here at eBay, and we're going to make an API, and it's going to look like this? What does an API look like in the year 2000?
So in the year 2000, so the APIs were SOAP APIs, of course, and the access to the APIs was very, very limited. It was granted only to a limited number of licensed partners, and that is basically how we started it. And I think that eBay literally pioneered the API work. But then, you know, the things evolved over time. So APIs are the front door to our marketplace platform. And I keep saying that the basics of trade were established 150,000 years ago. And we are just translating this all into a digital model, into interfaces to the business. And it sounds simple, but it is so logical. And of course, I'm skipping here all of the complexities that global marketplaces bring. But this all is about exposing capabilities via the APIs. And the APIs just tell humans what their organizations, what organizations want their platforms and their systems to do. So our developer ecosystem is really large. It's powerful. It's vibrant. We have so many third-party developers who add value and benefits to us, to our buyers and sellers. And that's basically where we are.
Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, I was designing SOAP APIs, and SOAP, for the folks who may be listening and may not have been born 20 years ago, is Simple Object Access Protocol, and it's an XML-based document format. We had a lot of arguments 20 years ago. I wonder if you had similar ones about, are we trying to do remote procedure calls over the internet, RPC over the internet, or are we trying to do document passing over the internet? Were you involved in those kinds of fun arguments in the early days?
Actually, not that much. I think I joined the developers program 5 years ago, and basically again, we launched the program 20 years ago. So there were so many lessons learned over the time. So at least I was fortunate not to start from the square one, right?
You're very fortunate, but you did inherit those. So like you said, you have to come up with an API architecture that is respectful of compatibility and also moving forward and being future looking.
That is true. So that is why we decided to revamp the program back in 2016. But then again, our initial set of APIs brought a lot of value. So there are thousands of third-party integrations, right, that bring a lot of benefits to eBay, to our buyers and sellers. So it is very difficult and challenging to move thousands of developers to integrate with your new APIs. That is one of the lessons that we learned. So we decided to revamp the program. We decided to deliver new modern RESTful APIs that follow all of the industry practices and standards. But again, we know that we have to keep supporting our traditional APIs, or sometimes we say legacy APIs. So both Greenfield and legacy APIs are the front door to our marketplace platform, and they enable our developers to actually expand our business into new experiences and new contexts, right? So we know that we have to keep supporting them, and that's exactly what we are doing. So still, I mean, the goal is actually to incentivize developers to move to the new set of APIs, but that doesn't always, go that easily and smoothly. So, you have to balance things, right? So on the one side, there is a technology and everyone wants to do the cutting edge technology things. But the other side, there are customers who invested effort, years into integrating with our APIs. And we know that we cannot actually break their business, which means like breaking our business as well. So that is actually, a challenge.
Back in 2019, you gave a talk at API World, and you talked about building APIs, and you said crafting APIs that developers love. And one of the things that you spoke about at that conference was defining a good citizen API. What does a good citizen API mean to you?
So, okay, so we understood that in order to deliver quality APIs, and we treat APIs as products at eBay, right? So it is a must to have defined standards and patterns for the APIs. And the Good Citizen API basically reflects what is actually consistent across and constant across the services. And that is basically a set of standards and patterns that architects define and agree on, and then internal developers who own the APIs follow and deliver consistent APIs to delight their customers. And consistency here is just consistency across the patterns and standards, but also vocabulary consistency. That is also very important, because every single URI in the RESTful world represents a sentence, right? Where verbs are, actions are HTTP verbs, and then, nouns are basically resources. And in order for something to happen, there has to be a governance process in place. And that is also where the challenges are. So this is what I keep saying. So if you have four architects in the room, by the end of the discussion, there will be at least five proposals, right? Because one of them changed their mind at least once, right? So it's extremely difficult to, have architects to agree. But that is actually a prerequisite. It must happen, right? So there has to be a set of standards and patterns defined. And then these standards are nothing without a governance process in place, right? So there has to be a process that we ensure that engineers are following these standards and patterns. And that's not fun at all, right? So forces are always pushing one way or another. So it is crucial actually to find a balance to actually enforce standards, but still to be flexible on the how part and to give engineers a lot of freedom to implement their APIs and services the way that they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. So for the folks that are listening who may work for a big company or a small company, I would guess that most of the folks that are listening that work on or create APIs don't have that formal of a process. But I know that you've been very passionate about the importance of governance, and you've led the public API governance team. You pointed out a little bit that it's not really fun, but how do you make that a thing that is valued by an organization, that API standardization and a formal governance team or council can really make a better experience for the customer?
Yeah, so it was very difficult at the beginning, right? So back 5 years back, so it was very, very challenging for us to prove internally that that makes sense, that, you know, following such process and having such process will actually bring value and benefits to our customers who are developers, right? So we live in the digital age, and this is basically our customers are developers, right? So we established such process that is objective, that is transparent, that is manageable. And the process ensures the overall API readiness. So it is beyond just the design, right? So it is that consistency, which I mentioned when it comes to Patterson standards, but it's also about cross-cutting concerns, rate limit, for example, then authorization, operational aspects like API analytics, and things like that, then to, address data privacy concerns, availability for testing, that's typically in some sort of a sandbox environment, then documentation, then developer technical support should be trained to support the new API capabilities. It is challenging at the beginning, but then, I think if you're passionate enough and if you believe in what you're doing, you just, keep pushing. And then, other folks realize that that's something that brings value. And then once you release your API, you have to reach out to your, developers. You have to listen to feedback from them and to keep, iterating. So I keep saying that it is very important to have this blameless culture beyond DevOps. So it is actually an imperative to let people explore, to learn and to iterate.
One of the things that I think you said there and also in other talks that you've given that I think is really important for us to kind of expand on is that the internal APIs, the legacy, whatever's going on in the kitchen shouldn't necessarily constrain what's going out in the front of your restaurant. So even though you have a legacy backend, why would you let that constrain your API design? And eBay's been around for a long time. And I've seen all kinds of interesting things appear in the URLs that would let me know, perhaps that this is an older system that I'm hitting. But from the API side, you've done just a wonderful job of having things very kind of clean and siloed from a business perspective. Is there a lot of work to make sure that what's happening inside isn't necessarily reflected what's happening on the outside?
Yes, actually, there is a lot of work and a lot of effort that organizations put to try to avoid shipping org charts, right? Mm. That is always a challenge. So this is basically when I try to explain the difference between the public APIs and the internal, services. I just, keep using an iceberg for a comparison, right? So whatever is above that borderline is actually a small set of the API capabilities that are exposed externally to third-party developers. And then below that waterline, there is a massive set of the internal, microservices that literally power all of these, public APIs. So, and all of these internal microservices represent provider's point of view, while public APIs represent consumer's point of view. So it is important not to actually expose org charts and not to expose all of the limitations that probably, internal microservices, some of them may be legacy services actually have. So it is important to try to clean it up as much as possible at that, public API layer, because once the contract goes out, at least that's how it is with eBay, right? It will stay there forever. And that is one of the lessons that we have learned, right? So again, we have these APIs that were released 15 years ago. They are heavily used and we cannot change them. We cannot change the contracts, right? So it is important for that contract to be as much clean as possible. And then it's easier to replace internal services with some other services and things like that, right? And that's why we keep saying and keep trying actually to be as much as focused towards the future as possible, right? Because we have to predict what are all of the things that business may come up with, right, in the near future or far future, right? A new requirement, they should try to fit into backward compatible way as much as possible, but not to compromise on the interface and the contract.
Right. And then the result gives you that consistent portfolio as opposed to what we see at other companies that we won't mention their names, which is kind of a maze of APIs where you can almost smell who wrote this and how it got this way.
Exactly. And when it comes to these APIs. As I said, like we had a lot of lessons that we actually learned from the past. So we learned that APIs are forever. So there is one chance to get it right. At least that's how we see it at eBay, right? So once there are live integrations, it becomes impossible to change the APIs without impacted partners' business. Then we also learned that it's important, as I mentioned, right, to plan and design expandable interfaces that will evolve and grow with the business. Because APIs express the value of a business, so they must be designed with a long-term vision in mind. Then in the API world, there is no such thing as one size fits all. So APIs should do one thing and do it well, so without offering surprises. And this is what I keep telling people across eBay. So gather things that together that change for the same reason and separate from the things that change for different reasons. So understand the problem statement and find a solution and keep iterating. And mm-hmm. and use basically when gathering requirements, just, you know, have a healthy degree of skepticism. Just ask questions. Try to understand very well what you are actually building and for whom you are building. And yet another actually lesson that we learned is that you have to have a good reason to introduce a new major version of your API. And that API is not supposed to be slimmed down your legacy service. This is exactly what we talked, right? Developers invested significant effort over the years to integrate with the API. So migration to the new modern family of services is a long-term process. So it is important to evangelize that API adoption, to act on customer feedback and support, you know, partners in new integrations. And when it comes to that consistency of the portfolio, the entire portfolio, so the two main actors that we have at eBay are buyers and sellers. It is actually so simple to understand, you know, what they need, right? So eBay is a global marketplace with, 183 million buyers coming from 190 markets. So our primary goal is to connect buyers and sellers around the globe. It is actually so simple. So sellers, you know, want sales and buyers want deals, right? So when I say it is actually so rational, and the APIs should enable both actors actually to excel. So what we decided to do, and that was not the case with our traditional legacy APIs, we introduced context. And context is some sort of a logical grouping of the API capabilities. So we said, okay, we have a buy context, and those are APIs that enable our buy partners to surface eBay inventory and then to enable purchasing eBay items from anywhere online. Then we said, okay, we need sell APIs for sellers to manage their eBay business at scale. Then we identified a set of capabilities that could be used by both buy and sell apps. So we introduced commerce context. And then the fourth one is developer. And this is for developers to get insights into their integration with our APIs. For example, progress to rate limit and things like that. And when we realized that we have to go on with these contexts, and I think such contexts are sort of like rare in industry, right? And when you take a look at the URIs of our, you know, APIs, you will see that the first thing that comes is a context. So it is buy/something or sell/something, commerce/something. Then the next thing is the actual API and then the version, resources, and so on. So I think that was crucial actually to completely split the capabilities. So to tailor the APIs to buy partners or to tailor the APIs to, sell partners and to make it really, you know, easy for them to integrate and to get what they want from us.
Hey, friends, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Text Control. They're not only the creator of the fully featured document editor library for .NET and Angular apps, but their libraries also have powerful PDF functionality. So you don't have to program PDF documents. You can make MS Word templates and then merge them with data, and that'll let you create pixel-perfect PDF and PDF/A documents. The best part is fillable form elements like text boxes and checkbox fields and drop-down elements, and you can add those easily to your PDFs and make filling out forms really simple for your users. And don't forget, TX Text Control gives developers a complete solution to handle PDF documents in any business process. So check it out. You can try it free. See the live demos at textcontrol.com/demos. Just that easy. Textcontrol.com/demos. Well, let me ask you this. So if you're passing context around and you've got a big global marketplace where people are buying and selling, but you also believe in a zero trust model when you create a developer ecosystem, can you help me understand the importance of that zero trust model and what that means while you're still trying to allow people to do business?
Yeah, so zero trust model, I mean, it may sound like, wow, but again, so as I mentioned, like, we live in a digital age, right? And this is basically where it is very important to take care of privacy and security concerns and all sorts of things. And I mentioned that some of our APIs are really old, right? So we released them back in 2000, so 20 years ago. So it is very important to keep, you know, iterating and going all over again our actual security policies and other things. Because, you know, things need to change and need to iterate. And it is very important to understand who your developer is. And I came up with that term, KYD, which is know your developer. So not all of the developers in the ecosystem are productive developers, especially in such a large ecosystem like ours, right? So the vision is to have a vibrant developer ecosystem. It is very important to analyze the API usage analysis. So it is essential. And that provides insights into how developers use the APIs. So the APIs must be up and running. That is, you know, obvious. But it is also important to look into other metrics, not just, you know, vanity metrics. So just to understand the value that developers bring to organizations. Business metrics are crucial in addition to these operational metrics. It is important, again, to understand who developers are and how to support them better. So the goal of that is not really to say, okay, this is how many bad actors we found. So the goal is actually to make sure that the good actors are not going to be affected by, bad actors' behavior. So that is why it is crucial to look into data. And that brings so many benefits, right? So first, to understand who developers are and what they do with our APIs. Then the other thing is basically to understand the value that the APIs bring, and then to understand, you know, in which way to go. Some APIs thrive, some APIs don't. So it's actually crucial to look into the data. And then when we say zero trust model, we just, you know, want to look into data and how the developers integrate with our APIs, what do they do, and how much value they bring to us. So that is basically what we mean by zero trust model. Just, you know, to focus on these business metrics and to assess developers at the customer level. And that's basically what sometimes is a challenge. In our case, you know, we have buyers and sellers. Then we have developers who are orthogonal to that. So we also have eBay Partner Network, you know, yet another realm. So just, you know, to put everything into the same, you know, perspective and to look holistically across all of these, you know, realms and to really try to understand, you know, who our developers are and how to support them better. That is basically something that we are actually trying to achieve. Basically to assess our developers from the CLV perspective.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier in the show was the importance of cross-cutting concerns. And then you also mentioned how it was important not to ship the org chart. That must mean that there's a cross-cutting concerns team of some kind that's going to go manage monitoring and usage analysis. How is that an organization of its own to sit on top of the APIs and provide management?
Yeah, so, you know, eBay is a large company, right? So all of these cross-cutting concerns are enabled by the platform teams, right? So, and we don't want every single team who works on the API, on their own APIs and releasing APIs to take care of the cross-cutting concerns. That is something that, you know, we just provide at the framework at the platform level. And this is one of the things that I talked about, right? So it's important to have consistency. It's important to follow the patterns and things like that. So it's not just applicable only to the interface and the contract that third party developers, you know, see. For us at eBay, this is across the entire stack.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think about, you know, risk assessment and all of those things? Because again, we're trying to buy and sell, but we're trying to do it in a way that is legitimate. And when you have an API, you've basically made a playground for people to do bad things.
That is true. So when you make a playground, you make a good place, you know, for people to do good things. But this is what I also keep, you know, saying. So how you can prevent crime in a town, just, you know, arrest everyone. But that's not you know, the good strategy, right? So it's all about, you know, having a balance. So it is very important, you know, and I keep, you know, talking about that, to do that developer entity resolution and to understand really who your developer is, because sometimes developers create multiple accounts and so on. So again, it's important to look at the value developers bring from the CLV perspective. And it is also very important to have risk management strategy, right? So eBay is a marketplace. So we want to prevent, you know, fraud on our marketplace, and the same applies to our developers program. So risk strategies are pretty much very well defined, right? So and it is important to follow the triple A approach, and this is again something that I have been talking a lot about. So that risk strategy has to be agile, has to be adaptive, and has to be analytic. So agile requires quick responses to new circumstances, because you know the circumstances keep, you know, changing. So and anything related to the risk is just, you know, a constant game of cat and mouse, right? So you do something, you just, you know, introduce a new policies, and then you know, bad actors figure out how to overcome. So so it's all about, you know, being agile, being adaptive, because you know the policies keep changing, and analytic is a very important, you know, part, because it is very, very important to look into the data. And this is what I mentioned that we do a lot, and just, you know, to try to learn from the previous experience and to predict the future as much as possible. And what we are actually trying to achieve is to prevent the actors to enter the ecosystem, to join our developers program, and then to keep doing continuous evaluation of existing developers and their integrations. And again, this is a little bit of, again, typical risk strategies and risk management strategies. It's important actually to try to do risk assessment, but also to have a system in place that will actually detect fraudulent fraudulent activities.
If I may, what I'm hearing, though, consistently throughout everything that you're talking about is intentionality. You're being intentional in your designs, you're being intentional in your risk analysis, you're being intentional in your governance, you're being intentional in the creation and the kind of gardening of a successful developer ecosystem. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it is a fair statement. And I, again, as I said, like so many lessons learned, 20 years of running developers program, we are just, you know, trying to put this all into the right perspective and to try to do as much as possible for our developers, actually to enable them to thrive their business, but still, you know, to bring value to us. Yeah. And yeah, that's what we are actually trying to do. And especially, you know, this year, right? So COVID-19 and the global pandemic turned so many aspects of life digital. And this is now how most people work and learn and shop and entertain and so on. So digital is the primary channel. I want to make the most out of it. And we are actually trying to use our APIs for a good cause. And this is something that we are extremely proud of. So still, you know, to secure our APIs and to have, you know, secure channels when integrating with eBay. But we also want to, you know, use our APIs for a good cause. And we made so many, you know, changes this year. And we believe that we create, you know, impact. So we partnered with the UK's National Health Service. We built a portal for distributing personal protective equipment to primary care and social care providers throughout the UK for free. And we also released the charity API this year. And, you know, some of the charity organizations helped with the COVID-19 relief. They tried to minimize the impact of the pandemic. In general, marketplaces are based on the premise that people are basically good, and that is very, you know, specific to eBay. That's what our founder, Piero Midiar, used to say. There is an excellent opportunity to put together the goodness and generosity and make the world a better and safer place. So when technology is used wisely, it for sure could create an impact. So we just need to keep reminding ourselves that we are building our future on bytes, but our customers are human beings.
I appreciate that.
That's extremely important to keep in mind. So again, we are trying to secure our program, but still, you know, give enough opportunities to our developers to grow their business. And by doing that, they grow our business as well.
Well, I really appreciate you chatting with me today. Thank you so much, Tanya Vlahovic, head of the eBay Developers Program. You can check out at developer.ebay.com. You can also check out some of the earlier presentations from the eBay Connect conference, including presentations by Tanya herself, and learn all about great APIs and great documentation for great APIs. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.